Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Fit Scholar. She's a fitness innovator, race announcer, speaker, author, cancer crusher. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show, Fitz.
Ajay, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's a delight to talk to you.
You are welcome to the show. You are welcome to India in this digital format. And not just in India, but a lot of people across the globe will benefit from what we are going to talk about. We are going to talk about something, how to not give up and stay motivated. So first to understand from you, Fitz, is that I want to know for the audience, you know, who is Fitz? You're a fitness innovator, race announcer, speaker, author. You have defeated cancer. So for the audience, they want to know you through this show. So I'm just doing that.
Yeah, Ajay. So I do a variety of things, but really everything I do is laser focused on one thing, which is helping you live better, live longer, do better, be better. So I target people's, obviously, their health, their exercise habits, nutrition. I think most people know that exercise is really important. Maybe they're just not doing it. They think, oh, it's not important to me. And that's garbage. They need to move their body. They need to eat good foods, more good foods than bad foods. And then there's these other components of health, which are mental resiliency. Sometimes it's just those foolish games we play in our mind that hold us back from success. And so no matter what I do, it's always geared towards helping you achieve your goals, physical, professional, your personal goals, hopefully poke you in the chest and get you out of your fog of excuses and launch you into action.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this way. You have been a race announcer. Yeah. You have been the voice of Los Angeles Marathon, Buffalo Marathon, Big Sur Marathon, so many of these. And you know, and you see so many being part of the race. Yeah. But you, when you defeated cancer, crushed cancer, actually, I would say you won the race from the sidelines. And that is what a good victory is all about. This is what a good inspiring story is all about. So I want to understand from you, Fitz, is that who would you give credit for this whole fight back of yours? How did you fight back, come back, whatever you want to? It is not an easy fight. You can just learn about it and just get crushed yourself by your own thoughts. Right. How did you fight back? What are the different elements of your individuality, personality, of your work that you brought in as tools to fight this? Was it fitness? Was it your mindset? Was it the good food? How did it work? I want to understand for the people, for a lot of people who are staring at this disease in these eyes, but are trying to know more about how they can fight it much more effectively.
Okay, so I'm going to start by saying I wrote that book. It's Your Healthy Cancer Comeback. You can order it wherever books are sold. I have plenty of people from India reading this book and doing better because of it. But, you know, in order to come back from cancer personally, and what I recommend for others is do what you can when you can, controlling the things that you can. So, you know, choose your doctor. Don't let someone just hand you a doctor, say, this one's yours. Choose a doctor you believe in. This is the person you're going to put in risk, or the people that are going to be responsible for helping save your life. So that matters. And then know you're in charge of your treatment. So when you agree to chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, that's a big deal. And you have to have a lot of trust in those people. But then there are things that you can also do to enhance your chances of recovery. There are studies, worldwide studies, powerful studies that prove a cancer patient who exercises regularly, strength, cardio, flexibility, balance, a cancer patient who chooses nutritious foods versus unhealthy food, that person is far more likely to reach remission, that survival, than someone who doesn't pitch in to help on their own health. And then the person who exercises and eats wisely during and after cancer care is less likely to have a recurrence. So those are really powerful things. And again, when you get diagnosed with cancer, it's funny, maybe before cancer, we think about, you know, the things we want to do or the places we want to go or the things we want to have. When someone looks at you and says, I'm so sorry, you have cancer, all you want is health. You would give away the boat. You would give away the fancy house, all your cool clothes. You would give it all away just for health. And so you don't have to wait for cancer to come for you to focus on your health. But once it does, you better lean in, bucko. You better do what I'm telling you to do. Because if you slack off on your exercise and nutrition, and then they say, sorry, you've got 2 weeks to live, that those pains of regret, you cannot undo. And so really what I want you to do is survive and never have that moment where someone gives you a few weeks. But the other thing that really, really matters is your mental fortitude. And so I think it's very important to keep perspective. You know, for me, and I, even though I was very fearful, I was fearful of dying. And most importantly, I was fearful of not being with my children anymore, not of losing their lives. That was terrifying. But I decided, instead of moping around and crying and wailing and being miserable, what I decided to be grateful that I wasn't a child with cancer. And more importantly, it wasn't my child with cancer. So being a grown up with cancer, I thought, okay, I'm going to put on my big girl panties and I'm going to get to work and face this, do what I have to do. I also continued on with my life. I continued with my social activities. I continued working. I traveled all around America with my bald head and did the work that I love. I did tons of corporate keynote presentations and race announcing. I stood on those stages bald and proud. I was very sick, but the blessing for me is once I stepped onto those stages, I wasn't sick. I wasn't tired. I wasn't suffering. All of my energy was focused on my audience and the corporations I was serving. And so, you know, that's the benefit of continuing on. There's some real bad advice when someone says, stay home. Oh my gosh, you have cancer. Don't get germs. Don't go out. Don't go see a movie. Just stay home. They're wrong. And they're dead wrong because you need to be something other than a sick person, right? For your mental health, you need, in order to keep going, you have to have something motivating you to keep going. Things you love, people you care about. So it was perspective, pursue your passions, whether it's music or animals or work, whatever it is, to pursue your passions. And remember that you have done hard things in your life. So cancer may be the hardest. It's certainly the most difficult challenge I've ever faced. But I faced many challenges, and those were just preparing me for this fight.
Right. Those were preparing you for the fight. But ultimately, you can win only with the right tools, Fish. Yes. So yes. How did, you know, because when you hear about this problem, that time your mental state is totally different. Then to come out of that situation and to gather all the tools or the equipment that you need to fight back and make your comeback, how did you work that out? How did you gather those tools in terms of the right doctor? As you said, you choose your doctor, but yeah. How do you do it? Is it in your hands at that point in time? You think anyone is who is looking after you, promises you something, is the best way. So how do you do that? Many a problem, it is the problem of insurance. A lot of people have that problem. So how do they look at different aspects? How do they look within, around them, and gather all the tools so that, you know, they can fight.
The same exact way you ask who's read a great book, right? You just do your research. You start asking questions. You ask your friends who have been through cancer care or whatever ailment you're going through, right? You say, are you happy with your doctor? I know you have a similar thing to me. Tell me about that person. You can look online. There's reviews. You know, I think word of mouth is the best source of finding good business partners. And believe it or not, those doctors are running a business. They're working for you. And so, I asked friends. In fact, I chose my doctors because a friend of mine had breast cancer previously. Her husband is a doctor. And so, you know how doctors know who the best doctors are? That was a real green light for me when they said these three doctors took great care of me. I love them. And, you know, the medical community thinks they're great. You know, whether you have insurance or not, you still have a lot of power. Here in the United States, you know, people make this great big deal over the wealth gap. You know, there's the rich and there's the poor, and I'm somewhere in the middle, right? So I was in my chemo chair next to a woman. My husband is a police lieutenant. There's a woman named Crazy Mary. Crazy Mary is addicted to every drug on earth, heroin, meth. She does it all. She's a prostitute. She has no home. Yet she sat in the chair next to me in the same beautiful facility, same wonderful doctor, same effective drugs. So, you know, they're, and at least in the United States, they're not going to just let someone die who needs treatment. So I hope it's the same way worldwide, where there's a system to take care of people that don't have the funds to save their own lives. But you got to look for that. You have to open your mouth. You have to ask. Maybe you have to ask a few people. But that's the same process we go through if we're buying a car or buying a house or looking for a doctor to save our life.
Right. Right, Fitz. So tell me about your mental situation at that point in time. Looking at your case, talking to your husband, and thinking about your life. How were you planning it mentally? Were you just planning it, okay, my treatment gets over and then I'll get on with my life? How did it work for you? Because you kept your life normal. You went out, met people, spoke at events.
Yeah.
But I want to hear from you specifically about your mindset.
So the mindset lessons came along the way. You have to face cancer as it comes. There's things that I was able to learn and decide early on before I started, a couple days before I started my treatment, which was 15 months of chemotherapy with 33 rounds of radiation and some surgery in the middle. But chemo was first. And I was very scared and very nervous. And I definitely thought I was dying at first. But then my oncologist said, no, Fitz. Breast cancer is 94% curable. So you're going to be okay. You just have to endure the cure. So that was a mindset for me because I really was grieving the loss of being with my kids. Once I believed I was going to survive, then I had to get through the treatment plan, which was terrifying. I'm a medical wimp and the MRI was, I'm very claustrophobic. So before my treatment started, they put me in the MRI machine, which is a tiny tube with the hammer banging on the outside is so loud. And I got in and I had a big freak out and they pulled me out. I was crying and sobbing. And they said, you have to do this. We cannot treat you until you have that scan. And so even though I was terrified, I panicked and it just was all awful. I allowed them to shove me back into that machine. And the things that went on in my head were pretty incredible. So instead of focusing on, oh my God, I might die. This MRI machine feels like a coffin. You know, there was a bunch of horrible things I could have focused on. What I did focus on is the things that I'm good at, you know? So this girl in here, she went, okay, Fitz, you can do hard things. Calm down. You have raised two great children. You own an international business. I used to be a competitive kickboxer. So instead of focusing on the horrible things in my life, I started focusing on the things that I had already done, those challenges that had prepared me. And so it wasn't easy. And like a kind of like a crazy person in my head, it just kept saying, you can do hard things. You can do it. You can do it. You got this. This is why. And so for 45 minutes, I lied there convincing myself I was going to be okay. And then they let me out. And so when I went to chemo, I was afraid. When they poked a needle through my chest dozens and dozens of times, I was afraid every time. But what I learned in that MRI is if I wanted to survive, I was going to have to constantly do things that terrify me. And every time I sat down for something scary, she turned on in my head and she started coaching me up, telling me you can do this. Just take a deep breath, blah, 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 get through it. And eventually I did. I got through it and I was in remission and we had the, you know, cancer-free celebration. And I have taken that lesson, those lessons, all those big, horrible, important lessons. And now they stick with me at work and at play. And my life is so much better. Now, I would not go back and have cancer and be like, yes, cancer was great. It's made me a better person. But the reality is, if I did not take those lessons with me and allow it to make me a better person, then I'd be a fool. So Yeah, I live fairly fearlessly now, and every day is a good one. And I do not sweat the small stuff. And folks, I hope you do not wait for cancer to come knocking at your door to appreciate each day, to take care of your health, and to let the small things go. Last week, I had to replace a washing machine, a dryer, and another important, expensive piece of equipment. And, you know, I just couldn't. Is it expensive? And does that bother me? Yeah, but that's okay. I'm alive. No worries.
Right, right. You live your life and reduce your worries, and that's the way it is. And perhaps, you know, so things like this teach us much more about life than anything else. And in terms of, you know, when you were cured, later on, you know, you could have just gone and lived your life, but then you went to inspiring others. And you wrote not one, but multiple books. But before that, before I come to the books, Fitz, I want to understand, you know, that you talk about cancer treatment. What was the most surprising thing about cancer treatment that you saw for yourself?
Okay, so the most surprising thing were the things people don't talk about. So when I started chemo, I expected I would lose my hair, and I did. I expected I may be tired or sick or uncomfortable. There was a lot of that stuff. What I didn't know is that there's all sorts of weird things that go on. My eyes, they used to be gray. They used to be pale gray. One day I woke up before a race morning. I'm in California. I live in Florida. I was way away from home. And I get up and I take a shower. I look in the mirror and my pale gray eyes are now dark navy blue. And I thought, what? My eyes have changed colors. And they did. Nobody warned me of that. There were some very strange things. My fingernails ripped off. I thought, why didn't anybody warn me of this? So yeah, I was definitely surprised by a bunch of the physical side effects and some of the mental side effects. My short-term memory is, it's not perfect anymore. And I just, you know, those were things I didn't know in advance. They were very, very surprising. And also, they turned out to be kind of funny. I mean, boy, do I have some hilarious stories to share based off of my wild cancer experience.
Right. So is it that it happens to many people, or is it only related to patient by patient? That's why they don't mention it to unnecessarily, you know, make someone worry about it, because they just don't know what the outcome would be.
So the drugs for breast cancer, for example, they kill, well, at least from mine, I had a quickly moving cancer. So they had to give drugs that killed quickly replicating cells of all sorts. So while these drugs were killing my quickly replicating cancer cells, they were also killing every other type of quickly replicating cell in my body. It was that my mouth, my digestive system, my fingernails, my hair, all of that are quickly replicating cells. So that's what targeted me. My friends with colon cancer are not losing their hair. Those drugs are different. So, you know, there's things that are similar amongst at least, let's say, breast cancer or those of us getting quickly replicating drugs where maybe, and I love my doctors, but they never once said, you know, you might lose your fingernails. If you have a fingernail, if weird stuff starts happening to your hands, that's the cancer care. If your eyes change color, chemo. Like it just, some of it came at me and I thought, whoa, are you kidding? Are you familiar with The Twilight Zone? It's a TV series and movies. It's life in a weird place. That's what it felt like. I felt like I was living in the Twilight Zone where there was no expectation for anything to go right. And all the weird stuff went wrong. And I just decided for the most part, when I was done crying about it, to laugh about it because it got pretty weird.
Right, right. But finally, there was end of the tunnel. There was light at the end of the tunnel, and it was actual light, and you saw, you are seeing the life that you actually had in mind. So you went about writing many books, multiple books, Cancer Comeback series, Noisy Cancer Comeback, you know, so many things, Cancer Comeback. Tell us about these books. How did this idea come to your mind about books and inspiring others rather than just getting full hog and living your life?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So this one is my noisy cancer comeback. This one is a memoir. And, you know, people knew I was going through treatment, but I never revealed all the gory details because I didn't want people to pity me. But at some point during my treatment, I started thinking, you know what? There's been a lot of funny stuff go on. And I don't see anyone else. But I've read other cancer memoirs, and the writers just aren't revealing all of the gory details. They're not getting into the weird stuff. And so I thought, I'm going to be completely open and honest. I'm going to tell exactly how it is. And from what I hear about this book is people do a lot of crying, but they do way more laughing. It's fun and funny and, you know, hopefully a great lesson in mental fortitude and resiliency. And then this book, the Your Healthy Cancer Comeback, Sick to Strong, and the Healthy Cancer Comeback Journal. So these were created. It was halfway through my treatment. I was very thin. I had lost a lot of weight. Even it was my mom had said, she goes, "You look like you were in the Holocaust." And I said, "Thank you, Mom. I know I'm doing my best here, but this is hard, right?" So I was very thin. I was very weak. And I went into the gym after surgery. It was my first day back in the gym after surgery. And I tried to lift weights. And what I found is I couldn't lift what I used to. In fact, I couldn't lift even 20% of what I used to. I had a dramatic loss in strength. And so while I was sitting there looking weird and knowing my body felt weird and wasn't performing right, I knew exactly how to rebuild my body. I definitely knew I was going to get right back here to health and strength and vibrancy. But at that very time, I thought, what in the world would this be like if I were a regular person who wasn't a fitness expert? What is it like when you're brutalized by cancer and cancer care and you don't know how to recover? And so with that, I decided I had to help people. I used my highly credentialed expertise. You know, I have a master's in exercise sports sciences, and then my experience. And this book goes through everything. It's, you know, your doctors and nurses will tell you you should exercise during cancer, but they don't tell you how. And I tell you what a crazy obstacle this treatment is. And so I have hundreds of photos. Some are exercises in a chair. Let's say cancer, you can't stand up right now. Okay. On your sick and bed days, where there might be many, here are strength and stretches, strength training and stretches you can do in bed. And then if you're like me, if you take a million showers a day because you're so sick, here's a ton of exercises, stretches you can do in the shower. So it's very practical. It takes you from diagnosis through treatment, how to get back to normal after treatment. And then also we talk about food. There's food that helps, food that hurts. I break that all down. We talk about mental health, sexual health, physical therapy, acupuncture, all of these complementary care things that you can do to support your recovery. So these books are doing great. And you know what's really cool? And you'll appreciate this is I get a little report on not only how many of my books are sold, but where they're sold. And India is number 3 in the world of the most popular places my books are sold. So thank you for that, India. I hope you enjoy, and I hope to help you all through your cancer journey.
Thank you. Thank you for writing that book. And I'm sure a lot of people are getting the inspiration, the motivation, and the desire to live the life they so deserve through your books. And that is why you are the master for today. That is why, you know, people wanted to hear from you, talk about. And this is not just the end of it. This is just the beginning. Now on live video, tomorrow it's an audio and also in blog post. So this message will continue to pass on to many, many people, and people will continue to learn. So how now, after that you are living your life, how have you planned your life from here on? Is it day to day you take it, or you plan goals, you know? And how do you fight that fear that, okay, if it will ever come back, it will never come back? How do you deal with that? What do you want to tell people about this?
Yeah, so I don't sit around wondering if cancer is going to come back. I hope it doesn't. I go and get all my scans, but I don't let it eat me alive. Cancer is in my rearview mirror, and that's where I'm going to keep it right now. Anytime I talk about cancer, it's specifically to help other people, but I don't sit around wasting my time and energy worrying about cancer in the future. And I've chosen a career that I adore, Every time I'm able to connect with you and your audience, whether it's a live presentation for a big company or a race or wherever I am, I appreciate those things so much. So more keynotes, more races, probably more books. And I love my family. I spend as much time with my friends. I tell all of the people I care about that I love them. I never miss an opportunity to say, I love you. I'm probably inappropriate hugging too many people, and that's okay. So just more of the same. And my mantra, it's not cancer, really serves me. And again, last week, it was my washer died, my dryer died, and then I replaced a radiator in some other part of my car. And I could have gotten really upset, and I could have had a bad day, but instead I just decided it's not cancer, so it's going to be okay. And so I'm going to give that to everyone out there. If the drink spills on your favorite carpet, or you rip your dress, or you lose your job, you say, okay, it's not cancer, and you proactively move on to, you know, get your life back in order.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there is so much, you know, still to learn from you, Fitz. And this is just one podcast. You yourself have the Fitness Show. So tell us about Fitness and also about the Fitness Show. How can people learn more about you? And how can people connect with you so that they can directly learn from you and make their own comebacks in their life?
Yeah, thank you. So I do hope every last one of your listeners reaches out and says hello. Fitness.com is my home base for everything. If you're listening, it's FITZ as in zebra, N as in Nancy, ESS.com. I'm also at Fitness on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And Fitness.com is filled with resources, free resources to help people live better and longer, but very specific guidance on exercise, tons of free exercise videos, tons of recipes, anything you need. If you would like to lose weight, there's a box on the cover of fitness.com called the exact formula for weight loss. It's diet free, no pills, no powders. I mean, Fitness in general is a gimmick free form of fitness where I help you, you know, make fitness understandable, attainable, and fun. And everybody can be a fitter version of themselves. We don't have to, you know, nobody has to be skinny, stupid. Let's talk about healthy. Let's talk about fit, stronger version of you, happier version of you. So that's what Fitness is there for. And, you know, while I promise to provide quality content, whether it's on social media at Fitness or on my website, I would much rather have friends than just followers. So please say hello. Let me know you heard me on Ajay's Masterclass podcast, and I'd love to connect. I also do have the Fitness Show. You can listen to that worldwide on all the traditional places. And I'm probably not as consistent as you with it, Ajay. So I have over 100 episodes, and I've given it a little bit of a break, but I'll be back at it sooner rather than later.
Right, right. I'm sure, you know, there is much more, even though I may be more consistent in my podcast, because it is just the way that I decide. In your case, you decided to be, because you are a very busy person. You do so many things at the same time. I come from a journalism background. So this is just one part of it. But you are spreading the biggest message of living life, being motivated, inspiring others. And it is all about, you know, crushing all the difficult things in life and live life to the fullest. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.